So when do you feel happier? On Mondays or on Fridays? And I know these days, one day is pretty much the same as the next, and the days all kind of run together. But I still think Mondays and Fridays feel different. And for those in the working world, we have a preference. And this preference is reflected, for example, in the name of the restaurant TGI Fridays, and in the phrase Monday Morning Blues. And then for those old enough and uncool enough to remember it, the Carpenter song, Rainy Days and Mondays Always Get Me Down. However, recent research has discovered that actually there's not much or really any difference in people's level of happiness on Mondays or Fridays. Apparently, our moods just don't change that much relative to the day of the week. The difference is that we look back and remember Fridays because of the positive feelings we have about the idea of Friday. We think of Fridays as good days and Mondays as not so good. Friday is the day most working folk are liberated from the work week. Friday is the day we turn from business to pleasure. The door to the weekend is opened on a Friday. These are the meanings and the emotions that we attach to Friday. Friday has an emotional significance, and it affects and shapes our memory of how we actually felt on any particular Friday. Because we believe that Fridays are happy days, we remember them as happy days. So meaning shapes our memory. Think about a wedding. What the bride and groom think as they look back to that day. The bride says her wedding day was the happiest day of her life. In fact, it was probably incredibly stressful. Her mother was driving her crazy, the flowers were wrong, the caterer was late, the minister forgot one of the readings. But because of what the day means to the bride, she looks back to it as a very happy memory. Or a new father. He looks back to the day of the birth of his first child as this wonderfully joyful day. Though actually at the time, it wasn't all that joyful because he watched his wife suffer through a long labor. She wasn't all that nice to him at the time. In fact, if he really thinks about it, he vaguely remembers her saying at one bad moment that she hated him for getting her into this fix. But because the day brought his beloved daughter or son into the world, the father's memory is joyfully positive. Or a teenager says that when her boyfriend dumped her, it was the most crushing blow of her life. Though in fact, at the time, she was kind of relieved and she bounced back quickly. But the meaning of what happened and her romantic ideas of romance made the breakup a painful memory. An adult who's a new Christian says that his immersion baptism was wonderful. The reality was it was cold, it was wet and uncomfortable, a little embarrassing to have all those people looking at him. But the meaning of the sacrament makes it a deeply moving turning point in his life. Our feelings about something deeply affect what and how we remember it. The poet Maya Angelou said that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. Our feelings about something affect what and how what we remember about it. So now, with this idea of the connection between memory and meaning, we turn to what happened to Jesus in the Jordan River. When we celebrate on this Sunday after Epiphany, the day on the church calendar called Baptism of the Lord, we have an opportunity to remember and to think about how meaning shapes our memory. What do you remember about the day? Well, John the Baptizer appears in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And bunches of people from the big city of Jerusalem and all around, they travel out to the country to be baptized. After years of feeling weighed down by sin and unrighteousness, and perhaps worry about how the way they've been living might be affecting Israel's relationship to God, especially since Israel is under the oppressive thumb of Rome, these folks feel so relieved to be washed clean, to be made right with God. And this feels very good to them, and they're happy. So this is the first feeling, relief, a weight lifted, happy. A second feeling could be associated with John the Baptist himself. We get this description of him. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. Not so neat, probably not so clean, kind of a wild look, but demonstrating by his very appearance and his way of life that all are welcome. He offers a kind of inclusive invitation by his appearance. In other words, if this kooky-looking outsider guy could be the one chosen, picked by God to baptize Jesus, then surely God welcomes all sorts. So a feeling of welcome, of being included, along with maybe a little wariness and surprise at the outfit and diet of this messenger from God. And then John the Baptist says more, that this feeling of being all clean and forgiven, he says it's not all there is. He proclaims the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So perhaps more feelings of surprise, curiosity, perhaps confusion about this one who was coming after John. So the actual experience of John the Baptist's ministry is a jumble of emotions: relief, happiness, confusion, surprise, wariness. Not actually a careful stained glass picture of pure joy and happiness. But then one day, out to John's wilderness spot alongside the Jordan River, comes Jesus to be baptized. And just as he's coming up out of the water, a voice from heaven says, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the feelings of surprise about John's appearance, confusion about the one who's coming after, even the relief of forgiveness and inclusive welcome, get pushed aside in the dawning realization that this Jesus is the Son of God, that God is on earth, the Word made flesh. Here, the questions about Jesus' identity are answered. We know now. And a similar thing is true of our own baptisms. At our own baptisms, we get connected to, we become part of, the body of Christ, nothing less than the community of Christians, that is the physical, the flesh and blood presence of Jesus in the world today. In our baptisms, we become children of God, no less beloved and accepted by God than Jesus himself. our baptism connects us to Jesus, gives us a new identity as another child, a son or daughter of God. However, as you undoubtedly know, baptism is not always the beginning of a lifetime of perfect bliss, Jesus included. Think about what happens right after Jesus' baptism. Mark tells us, the gospel writer Mark tells us, that Jesus was driven out into the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. Then Jesus' ministry in Galilee began. He dealt with a man with an unclean spirit, a woman with a fever, a steady stream of people who were sick or who were possessed by demons. Hardly a perfect life in a perfect world. Our memories are influenced by what we believe and feel about the thing that we're remembering. A friend told one of those small children's stories. Her daughter was 3 or 4 and had been thoroughly enjoying a little girl ballet class. And the big night of the recital came. She had the pink tutu and the ballerina hairdo. So exciting. But this little girl was one of the ones, and there seems to always be one, who just stood on the stage and cried. Afterwards, this little girl said she was sad. She didn't like crying on stage. A few days later, however, she was already looking back fondly to her big night on the stage. And months later, she was playing dance recital with her little sister as if it were the greatest thing that had ever happened to her. Now, hopefully our baptisms will not be anything like standing on stage crying, but hopefully also it will not be relegated to the past as something that has little or no meaning. It's something done once for many of us as infants, and we have no literal memory of the event at all. But we probably have a family memory, perhaps a photograph, or at least a certificate saying that it happened. And that's enough. Because what is important about baptism is what it means for our lives, not whether we were sprinkled or dunked or who was there or whether we cry. What's important about our baptism is what it means for our lives now, how our feelings now affect how we choose to live. If I were to say, I was married, I expect you would assume that I'm not married anymore. But if I say, I am married, you would assume that I was married on a certain date in the past and that I'm still married. And though it's true that you were baptized on a certain day, it's also important to say, or at least know, I am baptized, because the effects and the meaning of that baptism, whether 95 years ago or 5 years ago or 5 months ago, they continue into the present. More than anything else, baptism marks our birth as Christians. And it involves a process that's not quite as wet and messy as the physical birth that brought us into the world. And it's also every bit as permanent, actually even more permanent, actually, because its meaning goes beyond our physical existence on earth. Through baptism, we are marked, we are identified as children of God who are loved, who are chosen by God. And that's forever and ever, even after we come to the end of our physical time here on earth. Theologian Henry Nouwen wrote, "The truth, even if I cannot feel it right now, is that I am the chosen child of God, precious in God's eyes, called the beloved for all eternity, and held safe in an everlasting embrace." The chosen child of God. This is not only a statement about Jesus, but about each one of us. Precious, beloved. And this is our true identity. When you believe this, when you trust this, then your memory of your baptism, whether you were old enough to actually remember it or not, is infused with positive emotion and meaning. And this meaningful memory then touches everything else about our lives. Remembering that you are a precious child of God provides the solid bedrock on which you can then build a life that's free, that's joyful, that is obedient to God, that serves others, that's full of grace and truth. Let us pray. Gracious God, you alone are fully full of grace and truth. Teach us to remember our baptisms with joy, with trust that we are your beloved children. Help us to then live our lives with that memory informing every word we say and everything we do. In the name of Jesus, who showed us your love, we pray. Amen.